You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. I'm a bit uneasy today. Joining us in an hour, in 55 minutes, is Adam. He's an Irishman. You can say it Linehan if you're American. Linehan if you're a Mick. So I'm not exactly sure. He's written an article about Haditha. The article's in Task and on the website Task and Purpose. The title: A new documentary raises questions about Mattis's role in the Marine Corps' investigation of an Iraq war massacre. So he talks about the aftermath of Haditha, and you know, it's for me interesting and a little bit personal in that I have friends that were in Third Battalion, First Marine. I served with Secretary Mattis as his staff secretary. So, like, when you get to the part of the building where Mattis is, right, you see Joe Dunford, and then Colonel type, and then sitting next to Joe Dunford, you see Major McNamara. And then if you're allowed to go down through a doorway, you find General John Kelly, and the next office down is General James Mattis. So I got to work with him every day. And so when you read this stuff, I mean, so it's not a theoretical event that happened someplace, somewhere, right? So these are people I know, people I've served with, people I respect, and I don't mean like we were in the same country together. I mean that you worked with them every day. You saw them handle all kinds of different things. And so I'm interested to interview Adam Linehan, but again, it's not without some personal trepidation. And as I've read, I went back and about Haditha. So I read Adam Linehan's article. There's a movie out called House 2. And I've yet to see the movie. I don't know when it plays here in Los Angeles or Orange County. So I went back and I read the article in Vanity Fair that's about, good God, I don't even know how many pages it is. It might be 30 pages of, I tend to copy and paste the article into Microsoft Word so I can put notes in on the margin. Yeah, that's how I do it. And, so it's a long article, but yeah, that's at probably 12 font too. And it might be 30 pages. So anyway, you read through this, and Adam will join us, and we'll figure out how to pronounce his name here. But Adam will join us in about 51 minutes now. And and I go back, so I've had Me Lie kind of rolling through my head, and the things I learned about that event in Vietnam. And the differences are stark and marked. And then there are some, you know, similarities. So we'll do that today. And then what I'd also like to do is there's been some things that have been put in place. And I know other guys who served on kind of what I would call a quick reaction force that would go, a colonel by the name of Mike Flynn, who I served with after I came back from Afghanistan in 2011. So I was the OPSO MEF headquarters group, and he was the CO. And so MEF headquarters group is the home for Anglico Law Enforcement Battalion. First Intel Battalion, Radio Battalion, 9th Com, 9th Crime, as they like to be called. They don't really like to be. Well, the Lance Corporals like to be called that, but the leadership does not. But let's see who else is in there. I don't know. There's other people in there now. So Law Enforcement Battalion's in there now. So Mike Flynn was a part of one of these QRFs that when something happened, they were there within 24 hours. And it was something, I believe, at the time, Secretary Mattis, he was General Mattis at the time, CENTCOM, he stood up, I think based on his experiences in Iraq. And Haditha was not the only one. So we'll talk about that. But what I'd like to do is kind of broaden the lens a little bit. And in so doing, paint the picture of how these things happen. And that's not easy. But when you read through, I mean, at Haditha, this is the first time this squad makes contact like this. One of their comrades who was alive a second ago is literally in pieces in the streets, and they all see it. And so in fact the article in Vanity Fair, written by William Langwies, I think that's how you say his name, Langwiesch, Langwies. Depending if you're German or not. Anyway, it's pretty graphic. It's pretty well written. And I'll tell you what, and it does show restraint, and it shows a lot of understanding of what it was like to fight there, in that environment. And so at some point I'd like to see if I can track him down, but just show the different pieces of this, right? And the other thing about fighting is that if you're on your second deployment, you don't go there in the same capacity, right? You go there. So if I was a a PFC or Lance, Junior Lance Corporal, as a rifleman or squad automatic weapons gunner, you know, a machine gunner essentially. I now go back as a team leader. Well, it's a different perspective completely. You know, yeah, you know, certainly they're similar, but when you just do what somebody tells you to do and you're part of that, that's different from being responsible. And so, and then if you're a team leader, you're in charge of three guys. If you have everybody, more than likely you're in charge of two. Next time you go back, maybe you're a squad leader. Now you're in charge of 10 or 11. And you're telling more people what to do, and it's different. And then you do this stuff, and some of it you're doing for the first time. A lot of it you're doing for the first time. And there's tremendous uncertainty in the air. So what I hope to do is paint a picture of what it's like to fight an insurgency in Iraq or Afghanistan where the enemy uses the population to their advantage. They use your rules of engagement. You heard the gunner talking last week about, you know, stopping ambulances full of RPGs, machine guns, ammunition. That's just the standard, right? I told the story of a SNAP VCP and we had female Marines there, and so they searched the women. Right, they found a woman with 200 blasting caps taped to her body. And this is after the Iraqis threw a fit. You can't do that. You can't search our women. And it was all them exploiting us. So into this world, you know, you get excreted, and you go there on a daily basis trying to do the right thing. What's the right thing? The right thing is hopefully to bring all my guys back. That's my responsibility, right? And then do all the things that General Mattis kind of wrote. Those little slogans. Number one, first, do no harm. Okay. Two, no better friend, no worse enemy. And so all those little Mattisisms that the 1st Marine Division made so popular when he commanded it. And so it's into that million shades of gray environment that this young leader goes to trying to do what he's supposed to do. And then also fighting, you've heard me talk about your black blood. You know, when somebody gets killed, that's not a theoretical event. Okay? That's not a theoretical event. That's a real event. Right, his blood's really, right, over there, right, forming a bigger and bigger pool as the minutes go by. Okay, and you get pissed, and you want to kill somebody, and that's what you're trained to do. And so the restraint of that, I think, is the hardest thing to teach, to find. Those are the professionals and it's hard when things go bad and people are dying and people want to kill and you have people to kill, you want to kill them, you know, you want to kill them. And so I mean, there's so many different layers to this story, and we'll talk about a piece of it, but what I hope to do is a series of pieces that treat the complexity of an insurgency, you know, that gives you an idea of how difficult it was on a daily basis. And I would tell you this, Iraq, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, but I spent almost 2 years there when it was on. Right, not later when things had cooled out, but I was there in 2004 and 2006 in the cities of Ramadi and Fallujah, which were the two worst places. So it's hard. it's hard. And into that, you're these young guys go every day to try to, you know, do good things. But it's hard. But the biggest difference between Iraq and Afghanistan, and again, this is just my opinion, was in Iraq, the suicide bombers were so deadly. So deadly. And every time people left the wire doing anything, your finger was near the trigger. And you had to be ready because they were so good at it. They were good at distracting you for a second with something, and then all of a sudden from the opposite direction, wham, right? A vehicle with five, two rounds goes, explodes against one of your vehicles. And this happened over and over and over, you know, and then when they were really good, you know, they would, we'd be recruiting for the army or the police. Somebody walk in with a suicide vest on, dead man switch down their hand. And even if we kind of saw and noticed it, you know, there was people that were going to die. So, boom, that guy goes. And then the first responders come, and they send another one that walks in the middle or drive a car up in the middle of the first responders, and they get them. And you're just like, shit. Shit, shit, shit. You know? And so, and your blood boils, and you want to kill them. And so, so what I want to do is try to paint that picture, a complete picture of the challenges of that environment. And so, we'll start today with, but I do have, it's not like I'm not, I don't want to say invested, but I mean, these aren't some of the people you're going to hear about. I mean, they're not names on a piece of paper to me. They're my friends. And, I mean, they're battle buddies. They're great guys who've tried consistently to do the right thing at every turn. You know, you're not going to find anybody that is going to tell you that Jim Mattis did the wrong thing. Now, there might be journalists who assert that, but he's a smart guy. And I think I would tell you that you saw that it's emblematic of the, you know, the whole transgender thing. He didn't walk lockstep with the President of the United States. He did what he thought was the right thing for the DOD. And I think that his policy is spot on in that you have to be a widget. And, to the extent that you categorize yourself as transgender, but you haven't sought a physical remedy in terms of surgery, if you pass everything, then you can be part of the Department of Defense and the United States military. If you seek a surgical remedy, we simply can't support that. You're not a widget anymore. And it has nothing to do with your choice or anything like that. It's simply you fall in the same category as people with bad knees, people with asthma, people with diabetes. We can't service you. We can't take care of you. You can't be a widget, so we can't use you. And I think that's, and so to me, that's Jim Mattis in front of God and everybody. And I would tell you that that's him. He's a smart guy. And so it'll be interesting to hear this whole discussion. And then to me, the other thing that we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to cherry pick history. Well, if you put this together and you put this together and you put this together, then there's the aha moment. See, it all lines up. Yeah, but that's not the way it happened. It doesn't happen like that. Now, if you cherry pick the statements, yeah, but that happens there, that happens there, and while that happens, this happened. So we'll have this discussion. How do you handle it? What do you do? And so, anyway, and what is reasonable to expect from the young soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine that we put in harm's way, and we tell, hey, get after this, get this done. So good morning to you. So that's what we'll do today. And I figured I should make that paid political announcement. Because I've wrestled the last couple of days. I've wrestled with this interview, how to do it, what do you focus on. And then, making sure that people know that I'm not unbiased. I come with my own bias. So with that said, and out of the way, we'll check news headlines. There's some interesting stuff in the news. And then Adam Linehan, you can find his article on Task and Purpose. The website, you spell his last name, Linehan. He's a former medic in the United States Army. That's right. So he'll have to pay for that. Why didn't he choose us? What's wrong with us? Mm-hmm. So, Linehan, stand by. All right, United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the families of the sailors who died on the USS McCain over the late last week, and announced, I want to say over the course of the weekend, the commanding officer of the McCain pled guilty to charges of, I want to say, dereliction of duty. And I don't know what the plea deal was, but families had a chance to speak. And I have to say this, I haven't. In fact, there's a story that tangentially is about an incident that happened relative to my youngest son. And it was interesting. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about sons in the Marine Corps, and their sons in the Marine Corps now, and another Marine officer. And I told him, I don't particularly care for it, honestly. they do their own thing, and it's up to them. But I said, helicopter goes down the Pacific, your son's part of the helicopter company, that's his unit, and that takes forever to find out whether he's in that helicopter or not, and it's your baby, you wiped his ass, right, taught him how to pee in the toilet, right, called him a little wuss when he fell down and started crying, get up, stud, we don't cry, you got it?
Yeah,
all that. He's a little guy, and I cannot imagine losing one of your kids. In this case, they're all males. Losing a son because of the negligence, the utter incompetence and negligence of somebody, knowing that you're not going to have him around anymore. You're not. His smiling face isn't going to come bombing through the door anymore because of the gross negligence of somebody. So, in our thoughts and prayers are the families of 10 sailors aboard the USS McCain who drowned, whose ship drove in front of another ship, whose ship didn't sound a collision alarm or go to general quarters, and just gut-wrenching. absolutely, positively gut-wrenching. This is dedicated to them.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear, as hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, time to check the weather. Cloudy in 73 in Quantico. Clouds. Some clouds. Some sun. And 81. Kind of rhymes. Some clouds, some sun, and 81. At Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mostly sunny in 84 in Granbury, Texas. Sun in 62 in Big Timber, Montana. Point Anne Palms, mostly sunny and 77. Still pretty moderate temperatures in California. Clouds at 60 at Pendleton. Cloudy dark 81 in Okinawa. They warmed up a little bit. Marja warmed up some. In Afghanistan, late in the day, sunny and 96 degrees in Marja. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy and 60. Looking for a high of 70 under cloudy skies. Tomorrow, clouds and 69. Friday, sun and 71. Like I said, we're going to hit June and be in the 70s, 60s. Global warming, El Nino, all of that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. On our way to the top of the hour and talk about an article in Task and Purpose by Adam Linehan. or Linehan. We'll figure it out later. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. And we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the grunt.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for so. You. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy. Yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I have to get the commandant back on.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover.
That is a pretty line, pretty funny line. Exhibit A and B.
For my music, want it to be left alone in public. Excuse me. Wanting my cake and eat it too. Wanting it both. Maybe a balloon.
I just want to give you an alert. Okay, the monitor's on here in the studio, in the headquarters of All Marine Radio, and. On the title, kind of a, it's not a scroller, but it's kind of a title where they bomb up headlines at the bottom of the monitor. Trey Gowdy, FBI was right to deploy informant. And let me tell you what's interesting about that. Okay. What's interesting about that is Gowdy's a Republican, right? He's not afraid to be critical, but he's also, I think, what makes people respect him is that he'll tell the truth. What? Yeah. So that's not supposed to be something a Republican says, right? That, hey, the FBI had an informant and they were right to do that. That's not supposed to be something that comes out of a Republican's mouth. And so the reason I bring it to your attention is like, what? Somebody telling the truth? What's that about in Washington, D.C.? Yeah. So anyway, I bring that to your attention. All right, let's check some news headlines. 26 Mew incident in Italy is under investigation. Really? So what's being investigated? The Marine Corps has provided a few details of the incident. But Marines aboard the San Antonio-class amphibious transport dock ship, New York, recently ported in Gaeta, Italy, G-A-E-T-A, not sure of the pronunciation, for a regularly scheduled port visit and left the area on April 25th. The ship is part of the Iwo Jima Amphibious Ready Group of the 26 Mew. Regarding an incident involving alleged misconduct of 26 Mew Marines in Gaeta, Italy, I cannot comment on the ongoing investigation, said Captain Natalie Pogmeyer, a spokesman for the 26 Mew. The U.S. Navy and Marine Corps take all cases of misconduct very seriously. NCIS is working with local law enforcement officials to investigate the alleged incident. Yeah. 26 Mew has been in the news, right? The commanding officer of 26, Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Maines, he was relieved here recently. Anyway. And his firing was the latest incident in a string of incidents that have plagued the 26 Mew. Do you remember, in April, two aviation mishaps, when they were part of an exercise called Alligator Dagger, a Harrier crashed after takeoff, pilot ejected, remember that one? And then a CH-53 suffered a hard landing, and they canceled the exercise. Yeah, like, what the hell? But you know what? The battalion commander of 26 doesn't have anything to do with the aviation incidents. I mean, this would all seem to rest on the shoulders of the Mew commander, not the BLT commander. But that's just me. I could be wrong. So that in the news this morning, there's some incident that happened in port. In an interesting story that I didn't get to yesterday, but the United States has warned the Syrian government not to advance south. The United States warned it will take firm and appropriate measures to protect a ceasefire in southern Syria. President Bashar Assad's forces move against rebels there. The area in southwestern Syria between the border city of Dara and the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights has emerged as a flashpoint in a wider standoff between regional arch-rivals Israel and Iran. The U.S., Russia, and Jordan agreed last year to include Dara in a de-escalation zone to freeze lines of conflict. But government forces have recently dropped leaflets on rebel-held areas, warning of an imminent offensive and urging fighters to lay down their arms, Syrian state media said on Friday. So we have warned them. Don't do that. All right? Don't do that. I mentioned there's a story in Marine Corps Times today about Marine Corps pushing new guidance on water egress training. So we talked about this, talked about the incident with the 31st Mew, the Osprey going in the water. That investigation was released. Marines undergoing job training that deals with rotary wing / tilt rotor aircraft over water or amphibious vehicle training, waterborne operations, must complete underwater egress training, otherwise known as UET, before they can receive their MOS, according to a MAR admin. The new guidance is described as merely interim in lieu of Marine Corps policy. Based on the risk associated with a demanding operational tempo, the requirement for the service level policy for underwater egress training has become evident. UET represents significant risk to participants, so prior preparation by training units is required. According to the new guidance, Marine Corps Training and Education Command updated UET training prerequisites on the Range Facility Management Support System, and units can use the system to schedule training. Quote, other personnel may complete UET dependent on priority and availability of the facility. Unit training priorities are the responsibility of the MEF commander. And then on August 5th, 2017, an Osprey conducting a training exercise embarked with the 31st MEU crash off the coast of Queensland, Australia, after the aircraft struck the deck of the amphibious transport ship Green Bay. The Osprey plunged into the ocean, taking only 9 minutes to completely submerge. A Marine Corps investigation found that the passengers with Gulf Battery aboard the aircraft that day were deemed infrequent flyers and were not required to receive any UET training. Moreover, two of the passengers that had attended emergency egress training had failed the course. The investigation found that when the aircraft crashed, submarines needed assistance getting out of their restraints. Underwater breathing apparatuses were not used, and submarines failed to inflate their life preservers. Three Marines lost their lives in the crash. Of the 26 on board, Marines undertake helicopter dunker training, commonly called Hilo Dunker, to learn how to escape from a helicopter sinking in the water. A mock-up of a helicopter sits in a large pool where Marines strapped into seats go through iterations of the helicopter being submerged as they learn how to use breathing apparatuses and escape from the sinking aircraft. That is now a MEF commander responsibility to make sure that frequent flyers. So again, as you've heard, Mike talk about it, because Mike was in charge of some of the training, because there is a Hilo dunker at the 1st Marine Division. So Mike ran that, and he has some very he has some very interesting things to say about how you get more throughput through our current facilities, and that you got to build more facilities if you're gonna actually do this in practice. That there's not enough throughput. So, film at 11, right? We'll see more about this. A pretty interesting story. At least 50 Taliban leaders die in a HIMARS strike in Afghanistan, say, according to the United States. Yeah. 50 leaders? Did we get them at their annual leadership convention? What the hell happened? A U.S. rocket artillery strike last week on a gathering of Taliban leaders in southern Afghanistan killed at least 50 of them, according to a military official. Lieutenant Colonel Martin O'Donnell, a spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition in Afghanistan, said a weapon system known as HIMARS, High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, which is capable of firing GPS-guided rockets, destroyed a command and control position that was a known meeting place for high-level Taliban leaders. He said at least 50 were killed. That's incredible. Additional unspecified numbers of Taliban officials were killed in U.S. airstrikes over a recent 10-day period. The May 24th rocket artillery attack in the Musa Kala district of the Helmand province. Musa Kala. A festering boil in Helmand. If you go into the Sangin part of the Helmand valley, and you go up the river, and you, then it comes to a fork a little bit, and then you head to the northwest, you find Musekela, which is how we say it, or the more cultured people, Musekela. What did he just say? He said Musekela. Yeah, they were in Musekela. Like, who is that, man? What are you, James Bond? Knock it off. Anyway, O'Donnell said that because of the large number of leaders killed and their involvement in a range of attack planning, the impact of the HIMARS strike will be felt beyond Helmand Province. He called it an example of how the U.S. military is using expanded authorities granted as part of the Trump administration's new regional strategy for fighting the Afghan war. U.S. officials have sought to compel the Taliban to enter peace talks by blasting the shit out of them. That's how you do it. Anyway, the Afghan war. So, interesting. That's a big deal. The other story, there's a story that I'll just get to real quick. U.S. Navy just sailed to Chinese claimed waters again. Look, this is like the Chinese claiming the South China Sea is like the United States claiming the Pacific Ocean. What? Yeah, exactly. What? The Pacific Ocean? What? Tensions between the U.S. and China flared again on Sunday as two United States Navy warship crews near within 12 nautical miles of South China Sea islands claimed by Beijing. The guided missile destroyer Higgins and the guided missile destroyer Antietam sailed within 12 nautical miles of the disputed Paracel Islands during a scheduled freedom of navigation operation, according to Reuters. The move angered Chinese officials who claimed the island group as sovereign territory. What a joke. This is the emperor's new clothes on steroids. Oh, he's naked. Oh, those don't belong to you. And just because you went there and built them up, which is reminiscent of what the Japanese did prior to World War II, doesn't change the fact that they're not yours and what you're doing is illegal and wrong. Chinese Defense Ministry said it sent ships and aircraft to warn the U.S. vessels to leave the area. The U.S. military did not directly comment on the incident, but maintained its right to conduct routine, regular FON ops in the region, which is Freedom of Navigation Operation. During a stop in Hawaii to mark a change in leadership at the U.S. Pacific Command, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said Tuesday, that would be yesterday, that the U.S. will continue to confront China's militarization of man-made islands in the South China Sea. Mattis said Beijing hasn't abided by its promise not to put weapons on the Spratly Islands. He said that American ships are maintaining a steady drumbeat of naval operations around the disputed islands, and only one country seemed to be bothered by the vessel's activities. Mattis said that the U.S. will confront what we believe is out of step with international law. Out of step? It's a joke. China, it's a joke. And finally, this story before Adam Linehan comes on. Headline is this. It's in Navy Times today. The headline says, "What the hell was he thinking? Families of the McCain sailors tear into former CO at court-martial. Arrogance killed my son. The arrogance of one man killed 10 sailors." The impassioned words of Thomas Bushnell cut through the hushed Navy Yard courtroom during the May 25th special court-martial as the grieving father fought back tears to pay tribute to his son, electronics technician First Class Kevin S. Bushnell, one of 10 sailors killed when the destroyer John McCain collided with a 600-foot-long oil tanker on August 21st of 2017. The father is one of a handful of Kevin Bushnell's relatives who made statements about his son. He was joined by family members of other sailors who also died on the ship, including information systems technician Second Class Timothy Eccles, and it goes down the list. One by one, 15 gut-wrenching statements were read while the destroyer's crestfallen former commanding officer, Commander Alfredo Sanchez, sat only feet away, listening intently. The statements came during a sentencing phase of the court-martial, following Sanchez's guilty plea for dereliction of duty. Quote, "It takes 3 minutes to die from drowning," Bushnell continued. "And it was 3 minutes of the most agonizing pain, burning his mouth, lungs, esophagus, stomach. I've seen the autopsy photos, and they're not pretty. Bones of Kevin's arms are visible, his skin peeled away from chemicals and seawater." Thomas Bushnell said his weight dropped from 220 pounds to 175 in the months following his son's death. He no longer has the desire to keep the business he wanted to pass on to his son, and said he has difficulty finding purpose each day, a sentiment echoed by other family members. "I feel like a shell of my former self," said his mother, Karen, who wrote a statement read to the court. "I have very little desire to live. I've had nightmares about his body floating out at sea. Sometimes he was floating peacefully, sometimes he was ripped apart. Making it through a full day and acting like everything is okay is exhausting," said his stepsister Stephanie. Crystal Bushnell, Kevin's sister-in-law, told the court she has spent many sleepless nights wrapping her arms around her husband while he cries for his brother. "I have seen the light inside him dim." I'm just scrolling through some of the comments. "Assigning blame has proven difficult in the collisions of both the destroyer Fitzgerald and the McCain. It took extensive reviews by the Navy to determine what the sea service, not the other vessels, were at fault in both catastrophes.
What?
Deciphering which sailors were most culpable in each wreck has added yet another layer of complexity in the subsequent proceedings. Many family members of the McCain sailors, however, implied the blame doesn't need to be equally divided. The commanding officer has total responsibility," Thomas Bushnell said, "no matter if he's on the bridge or in the head or sleeping." Quote, "My son was my friend, my happiness, my encouragement. I know what a mother feels to have her heart pierced. The thought of his lungs filling with diesel fuel and seawater, I am haunted by that every day. It only takes 60 seconds to rouse sailors when an alarm is sounded. But there was no alarm. Five short blasts were never sounded. The CO had over 120 seconds to do something. What the hell was he thinking? Without an alarm or a warning..." See, that to me is what, as a parent, you know you're going to hit, and it doesn't take 60 seconds. Because I've been woken up by a general quarters alarm for real on a ship, and you're asleep. You could be sound asleep. That thing, it's not like that thing has a volume switch that you can shut off. When that thing goes, it is loud as hell. And you wake up and you sit there for a second, because if it's just a drill, you might go back to sleep depending on what you're doing. Okay? You might call in and say, "Hey, I'm going back to sleep." And they'll say, "Got it." But you're accounted for. When you sit up and you don't hear, this is a drill, general quarters, whoop, 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 whoop. When you don't hear that, trust me, your ass and your feet hit the floor, you grab your shit and you run. And it doesn't take 60 seconds. How long does it take for you to sit up, listen, maybe 10 seconds, shake the cobwebs out, another 5, hit the floor, grab your shit and take off? You know, 45 minutes, 45 seconds, maybe a minute. Difference between life and death. As part of a pretrial agreement, the commanding officer Sanchez pleaded guilty to dereliction of duty for his role in the collision. He was sentenced by Navy Judge Advocate Captain Charles Purnell to a letter of reprimand, a forfeiture of $2,000 per month for 3 months. He currently has a base pay of $9,000 per month. Also, as part of the plea deal, Sanchez will submit a retirement request. All right. That's just heartbreaking. And again, you know, how you don't sound an alarm when you know it's going to happen. And he had more than 120 seconds. It's not like that thing snuck up on him. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Adam Linehan or Linehan, Task and Purpose. We're going to talk about Haditha and his work based on a movie that's a documentary that's come out entitled House 2. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.